And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUNS Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. It is 2:59 on February 10th. A very happy birthday to my sister Viv. Hopefully the blizzard has gone away in New York, and they're enjoying the day. And here, it's been raining and windy. And some of my guests almost didn't make it because of that. But we're very happy to have them here, and you'll be hearing from them very soon. First, it is time for Arts Live and Local. Thanks for being here, folks. I got a full show and a full raft of things going on this weekend, so do stay tuned. First, I want to wish you all a very happy birthday for the trees. It is the new year of the trees. I guess happy new year, I should say, not birthday. In the Jewish tradition, there are four new years, and tomorrow is the new year of the trees. It is Tu B'Shvat, and I have to say that Fiona Ritchie celebrated it so beautifully that I had to repeat her. So, thanks for being with me, and stay tuned to Coast Community Radio.
Land of the Empire Built.
I love the trees, the willow, the hazel, the apple tree, the blackthorn, the silver birch trees, standing in the moonlight, I love them all. I love their talk, their rustling, their sighing, and all the leaves shaking in the breeze, their crazy branches reaching for the sunlight. I love the trees, the oak, the chestnut tree, the apple tree, the blackthorn, the silver birch trees, standing in the moonlight. I love them all. I love a girl darker than the elder, and I love a girl fairer than the rose. Like I love the trees standing on the hillside when the cold wind blows. Childhood's country, before I landed down the forest floor, I knew the trees, the ash, the elder, the sycamore. But I love the trees, the willow, the hazel, the apple tree, the blackthorn, the silver birch trees, standing in the moonlight, I love them all.
I love the trees. And that was sung by John Spillan, the singer from Nomus, one of the Celtic bands. And do stay tuned, because we have our own Celtic band coming in for the second half of the show. And even better for the locals, they are going to be playing tonight in Astoria. So you'll get to hear. Well, my first guests are not dealing with trees, as far as I know. They're going to tell you what they're doing in this play called, delightfully, The Curious Savage. So from the name, you kind of get an idea, you think. However, I don't think that's what it has to do with. So I am going to let my guests tell you. It's a play by John Patrick, directed by Suzanne Gelenio. And it's happening in Nehalem, by the Riverbend Players, and they are opening tomorrow night. So let me welcome Erasmus High School graduate Richard Haneke. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
For those of you in the know, Erasmus is where Barbara Streisand and Elliot Gould
and Neil Diamond
in Brooklyn.
And Dick Haneke.
And Dick Haneke, there you go. As opposed to Midwood, where I graduated from, which is Woody Allen. That's right. I was thinking Alan Koenigsberg.
And
Woody.
Steven Greenberg.
It was an old friend of yours, right? So it's old home week again. Richard is here, and as is Janet Robinson. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Carol.
And I'm delighted to have you both. They come as a pair, and although I have a feeling they do a lot of stuff on their own as well. And a new person to me. Have you been here before, Jeff?
No, I haven't.
Okay. We have a KMUN virgin in the studio, Jeff Slummel. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's delightful to have you here.
Nice to be a virgin. Again.
Again. It's too late. You're no longer, you know, you did it. It was kind of easy. I make it easy on people, but what was that? Goodbye, Columbus, wasn't it? Anyway, The Curious Savage. Jeff, why don't you tell us what it is, and then whoever wants to is going to tell us about the Riverbend Players, and let's just go.
And I've leave something out. I'm sure my colleagues here will jump right in.
I'm sure.
But The Curious Savage is a story about Ethel P. Savage, whose children are having her committed. She wants to spend all of her $10 million, and they have her stepchildren, and they consider their inheritance. So that's where it starts. And they have her committed to a place called the Cloisters, and they don't refer to it as any type of institution at all. It's just the Cloisters, and the people there are not inmates. They're referred to as guests. So the guests interact with Ethel Savage and come in contact with the Savage family, and it lends itself to some real quaint, funny, quirky moments. And it's not at all in the least degrading to anyone who finds themselves with the inability to cope in society. And without giving anything away, you wonder after a while, really, who's coping the best? The family or the guests?
Now, whom are you playing?
I'm playing a character called Hannibal. He has no last name.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the guests.
He is one of the guests.
Okay. Oh, God, this is going to be fun. How about you, Dick?
Dick, I'm playing Dr. Emmett, the medical professional who basically tries to sort between the family and the guests and to find out where sanity ends and insanity begins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Janet?
I'm playing a woman named Florence, who's had probably many, many losses, and she is having a hard time coping without a lot of fantasy. And one of the things that she and I think everyone copes with, maybe one of the themes or sub-themes of this play is the tension between security and freedom. And if that isn't a current issue, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Now, is that partly why the play was chosen, do you think?
This play was chosen 2 or 3 years ago. The play selection committee of the Riverbend Players tries to select quite a ways ahead, and some plays kind of stay in the queue for a while. Mm-hmm. And this just seemed like the right time a year and a half ago to do it.
Well,
But it's very current in that
way. Oh, yes. Yes. A timely production.
John Patrick is a playwright who is known for other plays. He's done Tea House of the August Moon.
Oh.
He's done Love is a Many Splendid Thing. So he's a very talented person. And this was first performed in the early 1950s.
I was wondering when you started mentioning the other ones.
Yes. Okay. And Lillian Gish played Mrs. Savage. Oh, it was played on Broadway.
Wow.
It premiered in 1950.
Wow. Yeah. Lillian Gish. Not bad. Who's playing Mrs. Savage in your production?
A woman named Diane Erickson, who is quite a talented actor. She has been acting in community theater, East Coast, and here for a long time.
So that brings us around to who, what is this Riverbend Players? What kind of a group is it? Is it a formal theatrical? Now, you three are all about my age, or give or take.
Mostly take.
And I don't know about the rest of the people in the, I would presume the stepchildren might be a little bit younger. So is everyone in the play part of the Riverbend, or how does it work?
We have a very large group. Riverbend Players are a group of many individuals within the community of Nehalem, Wheeler,
and Manzanita.
And, Manzanita. Mm-hmm. And so we have a fairly large membership, and we are all members of Riverbend Players. But Janet and Dick can probably speak more to the history than I can. I'm kind of a newbie.
Mm-hmm. So this is the Tri-Villages, as I like to call them. And is this the only theater group in that area?
In that area,
yeah,
but
I mean, we
in
have the Cannon Beach, of course,
in
Tappa,
and Tappa, and there, Tillamook. And in Cannon Beach is the coastal,
right? Right.
And but we've started about five. Well, we've started longer than that, but we've been organized effectively, and we're trying to establish, continue our identity, and we've been doing 4 to 5 plays a year.
Fantastic.
A different genre. Janet is chairman of the play selection committee, and Jeff is a member of that committee. And so each of us do it, and we do it for the love of the theater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned age, and considering that the average age of the residents of that community is 60, and
wow,
the younger people are probably busy raising families
and farming
and working. Most of our players tend to be on the older end, and we try to adjust the ages, even though the stepchildren are to be younger adults. All the actors are not necessarily younger adults, and we hope the audience will just, you know, use their imagination.
Absolutely. That's what theater's about. Do you find that you are attracting new people from the community?
Yes, and it appears that each play over the last 2 years, we have added one or two new actors each time, which has been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
One of the plays each year that we do is a reader's theater, a scripted theater. I think you talked with somebody about Love, Loss and What I Wore, which was a reader's theater we did in September. And that's a way for people to get their feet wet, and that's oftentimes how we introduce a lot of people to our membership.
That's a good idea. It's less threatening.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to put a plug in for the fact that NCRD is our home theater. They have recently remodeled.
And boy, did they remodel.
Oh, it's a beautiful facility.
I was shocked. Yeah. I didn't even feel, I still don't get it. It doesn't feel as though I was in the same space because I remember those chairs. I remember the whole thing. And then I went to a play there and it was like a real theater. It was beautiful.
Very comfortable.
Very comfortable.
It's known as the Performing Arts Center now, rather
so
than they used to call it the theater
the auditorium
or the auditorium.
Yeah. So. Well, it was kind of, wasn't it an old school originally?
Yes, it was an elementary school auditorium.
But NCRD does so much. It's the North County Recreation District is what it stands for, but that's such a mouthful, and there's so many different parts to it because I know Cardam uses it for the art shows and all kinds of things, so.
One of the things before we leave the Riverbend Players is it's not just only actors that are in there. But, I mean, I think we learn the craft of the theater. I mean, there are people who are prop people. There are people who really work on set design. There are people who come there to learn how to be directors.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have directors. And so Jeff says he's a newbie, but in the time that he's been with us, he's been a director, he's been a performer, And so everyone has an opportunity to grow.
So Jeff, had you done theater before?
No, I hadn't. I'd performed in choral groups and in music groups since high school.
Right.
But I've been in front of the public, and then I got the bug.
Good.
I was auditioned for one play and thought, it's not going to happen. And it did, and I'm bitten.
No looking back. Well, it is fun, and part of it looks like, is the working with the other folks.
Yes. I mean, it's going from a group of people that are very separate and building characters and building a community of people who work together as a group. And that's very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes difficult after the play.
Yes.
Because you're so intensely involved and in time as well as effort. So in this particular play, let's see, we have it going from February 11th through the 26th. Would one of you like to, because the way it's written, I had no idea. I know it opens to the public tomorrow evening. That's February 11th.
Correct.
And the time on that?
Seven.
7 p.m. Okay.
And it'll run for three Saturdays, February 11th, February 18th, and the 25th. And those shows will be evening shows at 7 o'clock. And then there will be two Friday performances, one on the 17th and one on the 24th. Those will be 7 o'clock performances. And then there will be two matinees, February 12th. And the 26th, and those matinees will start at 2 p.m.
Yeah, see what I mean? Okay, so tomorrow night is the beginning. That works fine. And then Sunday is a performance as well. And then the following weekend is just Friday and Saturday.
Correct.
And the last weekend is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Correct.
You certainly keep, this is like Sudoku or something, the mental acuity that one has to have in order to track the things. So.
That's one of the reasons we play.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night is also a pre-performance party for anyone, for people who come and have some cookies and meet the actors and so on. So that,
so
that's
what time is that?
That's at
5:45.
Oh, 5:45. Oh, lots
in the NCRD kitchen.
Okay. Oh, oh, fun. Okay, so that's on Saturday. And so tell me, Dick and Janet, were you doing theater before?
Never since high school.
So who actually said, "Hey guys, let's get together and do a play"?
I saw a couple of plays, and Dick was in one of them. And then Sue Gelenio had written a musical several years ago and was going to perform it. And I thought, oh, that would be fun. And so I auditioned. For me, I have been a therapist for many, many years, hearing people's stories. Mm-hmm. And it occurs to me that probably one of the draws is that, you know, now I can be part of telling the story. Mm-hmm. It's very appealing in that sense.
Nice, nice. That's an interesting approach. Yeah. How about you, Dick?
And I was an organizational consultant, independent on my own for about 30 years. And upon retirement, I needed something to let me ham it up continually. And so I turned to the theater. But the founder of Riverbend, Frank
Johnson
grabbed me one day and said, "You can be an Argentinian landowner. You just have the perfect accent
there
for
you
it."
Go. So I was going to ask you, since you play many different parts in these productions, do you change your way of speaking?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the last play, Jeff and I had played together, and I was a Chicago gangster. Uh-huh. And I could be a Chicago gangster if you want.
Yeah. Well, that's close enough to a New York gangster, though. I don't know.
That's true.
That can run. So, again, the play opens tomorrow night. It runs for three weekends. What is the website or a way for people to be able to see this in front of their faces?
Well, they can go to our Facebook page, and that would be just Riverbend Players.
Okay.
And also they can call NCRD at 503-368-7008. from information.
You can tell he's not from Brooklyn.
Tickets are...
No prices. However, mentioning tickets, I happen to be the proud recipient. When these folks came, they generously offered to share a ticket for someone who is interested and will go. Don't call in if you're thinking, well, I may be able to make it, I may not, but it's a free ticket anyway. If you want to go, call us now, 503-325-0010. Speak to Liam and tell him that you are the winner. If you're the first person, you are the winner of a ticket to the Curious Savage at the NCRD. And then we'll make sure you get this ticket. Now, I have the ticket in my hand, but if you call now and you're from down in that area, I might send it home with them or give your name at the door or something like that. So, okay. Well, anything else we need to know? Again, this is The Curious Savage by John Patrick, directed by Suzanne Gileno. And my guests are all characters, for sure, in this play. Is it age-wise?
It's probably not as interesting for children or adolescents.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay. But it's okay.
It's
up to parental.
Children under 12. Yeah.
Great Valentine's date night.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Children under 12 are free.
Mm-hmm.
However, don't use it as a babysitting where your child's going to cry. Being a theater person, I know what that means. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for coming up.
And Carol.
These are my guests who yesterday could not have come because the road was closed coming from North Tillamook County. Janet Robinson, Richard Hunneke, or Dick Hunneke, and Jeff Slamel. Thank you all for coming in. And break your legs.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
Okay. I hope to get down there to see the play. And I have something for you which you won't recognize. I mean, many of you may recognize, but you may not know the backstory on it. And that is... the actual theme, our state song. And the name of it is Oregon or Oregon. And it was written by the Honorable Judge John Andrew Buchanan. And his granddaughter, Carol Lambert, is working with the Clatsop County Historical Society to try to erect a monument at his memorial stone at his gravesite, which is here in Clatsop County. These are Clatsop County folks, and so thanks to Graham for both of the songs that I've first one I played in this one. I would like to play you a little bit of this.
Land of the Empire Builders, land of the Golden West, conquered and held by free men, fairest and the best. Onward and upward ever, forward and on and on. Hail to thee, land of heroes, my Oregon. Land of
that is Bob Robbins singing Oregon, Oregon. And Judge Buchanan is buried in Ocean View Cemetery in Warrenton, and his wife is buried next to him. A flat stone identifies each, and Carol is hoping to do better. So contact the Clatsop County Historical Society if you're interested in learning more about Honorable Judge John Andrew Buchanan. And the reason we're playing it today is that this is the anniversary, the actual what was it, the 100 and, I think it was 1927. Yes, sorry, it's the 90th anniversary. I'm rushing time. February 1927 is when this song was adopted as the state anthem. Thanks, folks. And now I have some music which is entirely different. And then I'll be introducing my next guests who are going to tell you why you're hearing this. Now let's see if it's going to work. Nice, huh? Very nice. Well, you're going to be able to hear these folks, and here to tell you who they are, where and when you'll be able to hear them, is Nicholas Stevens.
Hello.
Hello.
Came you in? Hey, Carol. Hey.
Nicholas is listeners. Also a program. Are you still programming or taking a break?
I've been
right?
taking a long break.
A long break.
I'd love to be back.
Okay, well, I'm sure it will happen.
Yeah.
It will happen. And with Nick is Andy Sterling. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
And Andy is going to, is one of our AVA, Astoria Visual Arts, artist in residence, and she'll tell you what she's doing in a little bit. So what did we just hear?
Yeah, that was one of the bands that are playing at an event we're doing at the skate park tomorrow night, and that band was called Silm.
Spelled?
S-I-L-M.
Nobody could figure out how to say it. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
It's kind of unusual.
Yeah.
But they're from Anacortes, and they're taking a little tour down the West Coast. They're playing in Portland tonight, Astoria tomorrow, Aberdeen on Sunday. And so they're on tour with the band Pulsar, which is their first tour. They're kind of some Anacortes youngins.
Mm-hmm.
And so these
nice.
Two groups are coming together. along with another band from Montesano, Aberdeen area called Fuzz Bomb.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so it's going to be kind of like this conglomerate of kind of indie, kind of rock, kind of later on in the night it'll get more like rock and roll.
Are they playing as three separate bands or?
Yeah, three separate bands. This is the first band. Well, there will be four bands actually.
Four?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because Andy's bringing in a musician as well who's going to be performing a set right before these three bands
okay.
play.
Okay, this is hot. Now, are any of them dance bands?
Oh, yeah, okay. Definitely. I'd say you can move a little bit to Silm. And
it felt that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, where is this?
Okay. Very important.
Very confusing.
Yeah. The Armory Skate Park is a two-tiered building. A lot of people know about the roller skating rink in the upper part, but the basement has its own separate thing. We have a little gallery space, and we do lots of music shows, and it's right across from the Bow Picker. The fish and chips place.
So that's
there.
On Duane and 17th.
Yeah,
okay.
Duane and 17th.
We all know the Bow Picker. Well, those of us who live here know the Bow and half of Portland as well.
Oh yeah.
So the entrance for that would be
yes
on the Duane side.
On the Duane
skating
side.
Is on the Exchange side. Okay, that's exactly. Really good to clear that up because it has been confusing. It's a wonderful use of the building, but
yeah.
And how did this come about, Nick?
Oh, just through some friends. You know, the Anacortes friends here wanted to come play for a while now. And also the Montesano bands just really were interested in Astoria. And so it's just kind of, you know, through this music community that people wanted to check it out.
Are you a musician?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, doing music. And the Armory's been a huge platform for lots of my shows. But I'm just happy to take the backseat and kind of curate this one.
Great. Okay. Yeah. And so it's not in that massive part of the building.
Right. The basement's a lot smaller and more intimate.
And also probably better sound because
the
big part sometimes the sound is, it's just a little too much.
Yeah, so. It's nice that you can roller skate up there, but in the basement you can still skateboard during our music.
Oh,
I mean, that's always a blast.
Oh, how fun. Okay, this sounds like it's going to be great. Okay, now let me slip over to Andy because you have an art show that evening.
That's right.
It's part of Astoria Art Walk. Is this your first time? No, you've been on the air. That's right. Oh, you haven't been on
no,
the air?
No, I haven't. This is my very first
time.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. I would have given you some a little bit more practice, but well, congratulations. You are, you were a KMUN virgin, but you are no longer. thank you for being here. Andy Sterling, as I mentioned, is one of the Astoria Visual Arts Artists in Residence. That's AIR. And she will be showing her work in that same space.
That's
right. Right?
Right.
I can't quite figure out where all of this is going to fit, but I think it's terrific.
We have lots of four walls at least, and one of them has a projector pointed at it.
And it's just terrific that the space is finally, after all those years, is being used, and the whole community seems to be getting behind it because so much is going on there. So Andy,
yes.
We don't have a lot of time, but tell us about your art.
Sure. Well, yeah. I'm honored to be one of the Astoria Visual Arts Artists in Residence.
I remember now.
And as two of my main goals for the duration of my residency, which is from January through April, is to create projects where I'm collaborating with sound artists. I'm a visual artist. I'm currently working in stop motion animation, making short films from my drawings and projecting those into spaces, and collaborating with sound artists as well, and also trying to approach alternatives to the traditional gallery spaces and see every potential space as
so last
a possible
month,
space for.
I saw you upstairs.
That's
with
right.
Olaf Jetzti.
Yes.
Behind the curtain.
Right.
It was wonderful.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
I recognized you, but I didn't put that together until just now that was you. So,
yes.
Very exciting.
Thank
yeah.
you. So, this time I'm working with a harpist named Lorca Scher. I met her at the Southwester Lodge while she was doing an artist residency there. And so we are collaborating. My drawing is inspired by earth tides and raindrop patterns, and I thought that the sound of an experimental harp would be perfect paired with this. So she will be performing live along with my video projection.
Okay, video projection. That's right. I was going to say, will it be moving again? Because
it will be.
Good.
Yes.
I'm very impressed. Both of you mentioned huge collaborations.
Right.
I mean, Nick, yours is all over the map here. And then Andy talking about meeting someone at the Sou'wester and seeing how your works come together in two different genres, two different artistic methods, but you're working together on this. And this kind of creativity, we've always needed it, and that's what art's all about in my estimation, is problem solving, creative problem solving, and not to mention joy and laughter and love and all that. But I think in these days it's even more important. So
it's a lot of fun to work collaboratively. It keeps the process explorative, and there's always someone else's perspective and point of view.
The creative process. Inspire one another as well. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Yeah. Now, your residency is up in April, you say? April 1st?
That's right. No, through the month of April.
Oh, good. Yes. So you've got time.
That's
this
right.
This is terrific. Mm-hmm. How has that been for you?
It's been wonderful. I'm new to Astoria, so having Astoria Visual Arts as a platform for me to connect with the arts community here that's already established, and also as an artist in residence here, to feel like I'm an advocate for young arts and what's happening here and what the potential is for what could be happening here.
Yeah, and I should say, unlike my last guests, Nicholas and Andy are at the other end of the age spectrum. So it's delightful to have young people here as well who are actively involved, engaged in the arts. And
thanks.
As you say, inspiring others when other young people see, oh, whoa, she's no older than I am, or, you know, something like that, or he's my age. Maybe I can do this kind of thing, and that's beautiful. So
exactly.
Yes. I think also approaching non-traditional gallery spaces is really a way to activate the young people in this community.
Yes, and activate the town as well.
Hopefully.
Because we have so many unusual spaces here. So, I really enjoyed seeing you there, and this is going to be fantastic.
Thanks.
Yeah, just the hours for everything is so the Andy's Art is going to start at 5 and go until and go through 8, the normal art walk hours.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's Harpist collaborator friend is going to be performing a solo set just after their collaboration. And then the other music will all start at 9 o'clock and go through maybe till midnight, who knows, but we would suggest maybe bring a donation if you can. This event is all ages, so, you know,
all
young
ages,
people,
lovely.
Old people, your dogs.
I also noticed that there will be beer for sale, but there's tea for free.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
That's very important to us, you know. Don't feel excluded because anything.
Yeah. So everyone is welcome, all age. And this is called, you called it the post-art walk fun at the Armory Skate Park.
Yeah, now it's during art walk hours, too.
Right.
You know, before that flare, it was
It's sort of
post.
A Washington invasion. I'm currently living on the peninsula.
Oh, are you?
And I met Lorca at the Sou'wester.
Okay.
And all the bands are from Washington.
So you'll bring a whole bunch of folks from that side.
Hopefully.
And we cross-pollinate. Terrific.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, have a wonderful time. This is all happening during, as they mentioned, it starts off during Art Walk, and I'm going to tell you what else is going on there. I still have some fantastic musical guests coming in. So anything else we need to know, Nicholas and Andy?
Just happy to be on KMUN talking about this cool thing happening.
Okay.
Hope everyone can come over to the Armory.
Great.
Yeah, make your way.
17th and Duane. Okay, thanks so much for coming in, Nicholas Stephens and Andy Sterling. And I have music from my next guests, the Press Gang. Hans Araki has brought us some Portland, Maine artists, musicians, and we're going to hear them. I just want to let you know that in addition to Andy's show from 5 to 8, the Liberty Theater is going to have Estelle Olivares doing tango upstairs in the McTavish Room. And the light box has the photographic nude from 6 to 9. The others are all 5 to 8, except Astoria Art Loft on 3rd Street has Kai Radden from 3 to 5. Gala has a whole bunch of people, including the end of Sid and Sterling, and Roger Hayes and Brooklyn Andrews and a whole bunch of folks. Imogen is featuring George Wilson, the Fisher Poet, and he will be on the show on arts on during Fisher Poet, which is in 2 weeks. Oh, my God. And River Sea, Mayhem and Magic with 12 regional artists. And Tempo has the 6 artists there. My musicians are filtering in, and don't worry about making noise. They've got, I don't know that they knew how small the space was. So Tempo also has Birds of a Feather for music. Terry Robinette is the other AIR artist, and she is going to be at 11th Street. And then In the Boudoir is featuring the whimsical nude paintings of Marga Stanley and Phyllis Taylor. That's in conjunction with the Au Naturel, which opened last night. It is a fabulous show up at the college. Don't miss it, folks. It's one of the best, if not the. And that's where Lightbox is doing the photographic nude, and In the Boudoir has nude as well. Luminary installation by D. Jackson and C. Brune, if you recognize those names. And The Scorcher has a local book fair going on at 5:30. It's going to be one heck of a town happening tomorrow night. I should also tell you that in addition to what you're hearing right now behind my voice and what you're going to hear in a minute live, the Press Gang, which is tonight at 7 o'clock, at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin. This is a benefit for our beloved PAC, so be sure to come hear fantastic music. These guys came 3,000 miles to give us music, so take advantage of them. I'm sure they'll enjoy meeting everybody. There's also a contra dance tonight from 7 to 10, and if you do it right, you can fit them all in. So I'm going to introduce my guests, and let's see, I'm going to ask them to get the mics a little bit close to, so you can dip in and say hello, set it on your instruments however you want, and then bend down to say hello, and I've got your music playing in the background, which you can't tell, but it sounds terrific. So let's see if I get the names right. Well, the one we know is Hans Araki.
Hello.
Hi, Hans. Hans used to live here. I don't know where he lives now, but right now he's hanging out with this bunch of musicians in Maine. So he didn't change the name of the town. He just changed the state. And I guess that's quite a change.
Yeah.
So, and Hans has his flute with him. He sings and plays flute. Owen Marshall is on guitar.
Hello.
Hi, Owen. And Chris Stevens on accordion.
There.
Oh, boy. And Alden Robinson on fiddle.
Hi.
And Alden's probably the only one who needs a mic, actually. Oh, an accordion. Well, the guitar, too. But I don't know about accordion. So thank you so much for coming to Astoria. Now, are you doing a tour on the West Coast? Is that
you? Going? You nailed it. We are doing a tour. We are on tour. We came out here to bring Hans back for an annual. We rented a Pope mobile for him. He's, the three of us are providing security and parading him around. So back in the homelands, it's been going great. Miracles are happening, folks. Come on down. Miracles.
Does that have to do with the Popemobile, too? Okay, now let me see if I wrote any more. Just that Owen is a multi-instrumentalist. He's got his guitar now, but I haven't let... Where are you from, Owen?
Well, we're all based loosely in the Portland, Maine area.
Yeah.
Portland, Maine. Maine.
Maine. Yeah.
And,
your Maine space.
I'm originally from Vermont.
Ah,
that's, Maine and Vermont are sort of sister states.
Yeah, Vermont is one of my heart homes. We'll talk later. Let's see. Alden Robinson on fiddle is from Maine, though. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep, I grew up
up the coast from Portland a little ways. So
where?
Near Damariscotta, if you've heard of that.
There are people out here. Yeah. I'm really only familiar with Bahaba. Because I lived in Nova Scotia. So, And Christian Jr. Stevens, he's the tallest of the bunch, so he gets to be called Junior. Concertina, accordion, and you're from...
Yeah, I'm from Maine as well.
You are?
The other end of the state, in a little town called York.
Okay. Well, now, how can you show us your music? I've got the dials here. I can throw you this extra mic if you need it, but I don't know.
We should be all right. Yeah.
You should be all right. Yeah. Okay. Let's give it a try. Okay. Tell us all what right. you're going to... For you're an Irish band predominantly, but you do dip into in and out of other musical.
Yeah, mostly Irish music.
Mostly.
Yeah, we come from New England, which of course is a melting pot of various traditions, with Cape Breton there.
You got it.
Traditional Quebecois French Canadian music, and also some of the people who decided that they wanted to experience cold weather come up from. The South, so, yeah.
So, will we be hearing a variety then tonight?
We're going to be pretty straight-ahead traditional Irish music
okay.
for this tour.
Okay,
yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. Go ahead and start us
okay.
off.
Okay. Start with the jigs?
Our apples and
wear. Apples, yeah.
The Press Gang, Hansaraki, and the... Are you officially part of this gang?
I don't know, guys. What do you say?
We haven't given him full colors yet.
So we'll say Hansaraki and
no,
the Press.
He's in the band.
Okay. Thank you. couldn't stand it. I just couldn't stand it. I had to. Well, I did stand it. I stood up and started dancing. I couldn't help myself. That was fabulous. Holy cow. Wow, that is so, it just warms up my whole being, the whole, the lights up everything. Gorgeous. So you said traditional, straight out Irish. I'm looking at the three of him, maybe, you know.
And that's where you'd be wrong.
The Hans part is from Ireland?
No, actually. That's the, and it's not the German part either. My first and last name are Japanese.
H-A-N-Z is Japanese?
It's short for a lot more.
I see. That's
It gets more and more difficult to pronounce as you add various consonants and vowels. So, but no, my mother's Irish. So.
Very clever of you.
I know. I'm well disguised.
Yes.
I often masquerade as insert brown person.
As far as how we got to playing traditional Irish music, I think it's like anything, exposure to various cultures. You get to learn things that maybe you didn't grow up around but have a real appreciation for and affinity for. I think it's no different from people who have an enthusiasm for Indian cuisine or...
I'm a Balkan dancer.
And there you go. So. And that's the great thing about... world traditions and cultures is that you can learn to like something new, even if it's not your own.
But did you start as just playing music because you love music and learning different instruments and stuff, and then become attracted to Irish music? I know for a while there was every band, and of course we had in Portland, we had people like Kevin Burke and Michal O'Donnell and those folks. Yeah. And then there seemed to be a switch over to where my Nova Scotia home, which is the Cajun. Cajun music suddenly became really, really popular, and now it seems Irish music and Celtic music is... so I'm just wondering what's the evolution? Go for it. Yeah.
It's always been there. It's under the radar sometimes. Where we grew up, there's a fairly vibrant music scene and some sessions out in local pubs and things like that. And a lot of social dancing, a lot of contra dancing and things like that. So I think one way or another, we all sort of stumbled upon that and fell in love with it. So.
I don't know whether you heard me mention that the other thing that's going on tonight is a contra dance with local musicians. Yep. Yeah. I've done a lot of traveling, and I have to say that Ireland was the place that totally blew my mind. It was only a few years ago, like 3-4 years ago, because there was music every single night in many different places. Little towns, wherever you were, there was music every night, and it was such a joy. Yeah. And people spontaneously join, or sometimes it was a little more select. Mm-hmm. And then people would get up and dance on the side or stuff like that. So did you want to pitch into that?
I would add to that the wonderful thing about this music is that it is played all over the world, and it's sort of like a passport to a little subculture that you can go to. You know, an Irish session in Japan, and you'll know some of the tunes, and you know, it really is a global thing. It's a great privilege to be part of it.
Yeah, I think that's the magic of folk music too, that we can share this.
Absolutely.
So, how long has the band been together, though?
Let's see. Chris and I, the accordion player here, have known each other for just about 10 years, if not more, and.
Celebrate.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, you came to the right place.
Wow. And I think Alden and Chris and I had a gig probably about eight or nine years ago. I had our first gig up in Rockland, Maine, at the Rock City Coffee. And
Hey, Suzanne.
Yeah, hey, Suzanne. Yeah. And we had a blast. It was not really a planned thing at all. And we decided to keep doing it. And then, so the three of us, Alden, Chris, and I, were the original trio of the band. And we were playing a wonderful festival up in Maine called the Maine Celtic Celebration, where it just so happened a certain Hans Araki was also a performer. So we were We were intimidated at first by his sharp attire and
I love it.
Roguish good looks.
I remember the first time I saw him.
He's a very good-looking man. For those of you who are on the fence about coming to the show.
Now, wait a minute. I have to say.
There's some things radio cannot.
No, this is true, but I have to say that I've got four good-looking men in the studio with me right now. I don't know what their statuses are, but it doesn't matter. I know as far as musicianship, their status is terrific. Is there going to be any singing tonight?
Well, funny you should mention. This was actually the song we're going to do next. Hans, this was the song that Hans sang at this festival that we first heard him. And the three of us lost our minds a little bit and went up and sort of
courted him.
Yes.
Okay.
Even though he was.
For it. Yeah, sure.
Well, let's do it because we only have a couple more minutes. Okay. So you may not even be able to do the whole thing, but let's give him another taste. This is the Press Gang, Hans Araki, the Press Gang. They are putting on a fabulous concert tonight, 7 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center. That's 16th and Franklin. Get your tickets at the door. You will have a fantastic experience. Go for it.
Johnny Miner, you were born never to see the rising dawn. Now it's time that you were gone. Farewell, Johnny Miner. You battled with the slate and shale, lungs turned black and faces pale. Now your body's up for sale. Farewell, Johnny Miner, and farewell, Don, your chattel. They promised you the earth and time to get the coal from their stinking mine. Now the justice for their crime. It's farewell, Johnny Miner, and farewell, Durham, Yorkshire too. Nottingham, the same to you. Scotland, South Wales, bid adieu. Farewell, Johnny Miner.
I love it. And yes, the thing that you guys may not know, you pressmen, is that Hans's voice is heard on a regular basis on this station. We have quite a number of his albums. So his reputation is solid, and I think yours is now, too. So thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for coming to Astoria. I am so much looking forward to tonight's concert. I am out of time. It's KMUN Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. I just want to let you know that in addition to my concert guests right here at the Performing Arts Center, there is the Contra Dance at the AAMC. And on Saturday, they have a dance party, the Age of Aquarius, and with DJ, I'm Code 4. Sunday, they have a dance for love for the river folk, a Zumba dance. And Klatskanai has music, the a cappella on the rocks, Sandtrap, Adrift has music. There is tomorrow is the Wings concert, and there is music and art. Astoria Art Walk, don't miss it. The Riverbend Players open, and then the concert we talked about before. And at the Southwester, we have Lisa Prank and the Young Pioneers in Pandula, and Ivy Ross Ritchie's going to be there. No time. We're out of here. Thank you so much for listening.